Just in case you have never met me before, my name is Jamal, and my wife, Noella, my four kids, Adil, Jalil, and Tanisa, and Akil. So this morning, they were so excited to get out since the lockdown, we have been home. So this morning, they were so excited that, you know, they are coming to church. So, and we are all excited. I'm excited to see everybody. It's always a blessing. Amen. I'd like to invite you to open the book of Psalm 11, and I'm going to read, and then maybe I'm going to say a prayer, and then we shall continue. So this is a Psalm of David, and it says here, "In the Lord I take refuge. How then can you say to me, 'Flee like a bird to your mountain'? For look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord in his holy temple, the Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes everyone on earth. His eyes examine them. The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked, those who love violence, he hates with a passion. On the wicked, he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. The upright will see his face." Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we're so excited. Your word is powerful. Every time we read your word, we know that these are not just words, but it's you speaking to us. And this morning we're excited because we want to open our hearts for you to speak to us. I want to say thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So a question is being asked here. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? The advice David was given by his advisors is, run away like a bird. That was the advice he was given. When things fall apart, run away. And this reminds me of a story that actually happened to me just a couple days after my marriage. So I went to Africa. I got married. Now I'm in my honeymoon, just like maybe a week and a half. I'm walking with my wife. And we're in the middle of the road. And all of a sudden, this guy is driving so fast, and I thought he was going to hit us. Now, you need to understand, before I got married, I was a single man for a long time. So when I got married, I still had that single mentality. And so sometimes there are times where I used to forget that I'm even married. You know, it took some time. So now we're in the middle of the road. This car comes, and we thought he was going to hit us. And I jump off the road. Now, the surprising thing about this story is that I jumped alone, and I left her in the middle of the road. I was still thinking I'm a single person. I forgot that, hey, I'm married. I'm supposed to protect her, right? I felt so bad. So the guys that were beside me, you know, my best man and a friend of mine, they looked at me and say, what's up with you? You're supposed to protect her. You're supposed to, you know, to jump and show, you know, this was your opportunity to shine because now you are a married person. And they were right because a couple days before that, I just made a covenant with God in front of people. And I said, I'll protect her in good times, in bad times, I'll be there for her. And I think maybe I said those words just because everybody says them. I wasn't really thinking about those words. When the opportunity was given to me, I failed the test. I actually jumped and left her alone. My old nature was still there. I forgot that now I'm a new person, a married person with responsibility. And here, David is being asked to flee, forget about his responsibility. But then we'll see how he responds. And in these difficult times, when the foundations of our society are shaken, sometimes it's easy to run away. It's easy to allow our old nature to come in us and just run away. Flee like a bird. But then, in verse 1, David responds to his advisors and he says, in the Lord, I take refuge. He abides in God's truth. He knows that he cannot flee because he's a person who has made a covenant with God. So David knew the protection of God, that the protection of God will shelter him. In my example, I didn't have to run away. I didn't have to run away. And I do believe that there's this thing I call God's timing. God has his own timing. If I was meant to die, I will die. And in fact, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 27, the Bible says, just as people are destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment, which means that every single person, a time is going to come, we're going to pass away. But in God's timing. So which means that when the time has not yet come, I need to take refuge in my God and trust God. I don't need to worry. I don't need to be scared. Because if God is not finished with me, it does not matter what circumstances and what situation I am going through. I need to commit myself to the truth of God and be reminded, he's my refuge. He's my everything. And David here in verse 1, he says, take refuge in the Lord. He's speaking to us this morning and he says, take refuge in the Lord. In John 7:30 says, this is Jesus Christ. They tried to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him because his time had not yet come. This is Jesus Christ. Many times they tried to kill him, but they couldn't do anything because his time had not yet come. When the time comes, it doesn't have to be coronavirus. Anything can happen, and the Lord can take us. So as a Christian myself, I need to remind myself that I am a person of the covenant. I've made a covenant with God. So God has expectations of me as a child of God. Running away from responsibility is not an option for me. And in fact, in difficult times like this, this is our opportunity for children of God to shine. I had an opportunity to shine. And you know what? If had I protected my wife, that would have been good. We say, well, have you seen Jamal? They almost hit by a car. But he loved his wife so much. He jumped, protected his wife. It could have been, I could have been a hero of the day. And I do believe in times like this, children of God, we are children of the covenant. And because we're children of the covenant, if there's any time to shine, this is our time to shine as believers. And we can tell the world, take refuge in God. Then in verse 2 here he says, it says in verse 2, For look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. So the advisors are making, David's advisors are making things worse. They're now describing how bad the situation is. And they're saying, look at your enemies. Look at what they are doing. They're ready to go. They're ready to take you down. But David still rejects the advice of his advisors. So the people who are advising David, they are not bad people at all. They are speaking the truth. They are just telling David, you know what, David? This is the situation. The situation is really, really bad. The society right now is falling apart. Your enemies are after you. They are going to finish you. So they said it with good intentions, not bad intentions. But David, he's thinking to himself, how can I accept such an advice? Because for David, looking upon his enemies will require him to take his eyes away from the Lord. If he was going to focus on what the enemies are about to do, to him it would have meant that to focus his eyes away from the Lord. That's the danger. Where I come from, there's this thing. People talk about going to the UK or going to India when they are sick. It's very, very common among wealthy people, presidents, ministers. When they are sick, you hear a guy say, I'm going to the UK. Those who have money, they actually go to the UK. And why do they go to the UK? It's because the UK, they're experts there. They're specialists, you know. The local people over there, yeah, it's okay, but, you know, when you're really, really sick, you go to the UK because they're experts there and they can deal with your situation good. And if you're less wealthy, you don't have much money, then you go to India. So people talk about India, they talk about the UK when things are tough. So sometimes you hear people talk, you know, when, you know, a brother is really, really sick, they say, are you going to India? I think you should go to India. Go see the experts because, you know, your situation is getting worse. All they tell you, you need to go to the UK. And people do that. But sometimes they make it sound like going to the UK is everything because the experts are there. Or going to India is everything because the experts are there. But I know of people who went to the UK, never made it back. I know of people who went to India, they never made it back. So even the specialists themselves, they have limits. There are things they can do, there are things they cannot do. And I think here David, he sees that there are limits. There are limits. We can't just depend on the systems. And you and I today, you know, with what is happening right now, It's very, very easy to replace God. You hear a talk, you know, what are the scientists saying? What are the experts saying? And I think they have good things to say. They have the good things to offer. And in fact, I believe in experts because they have knowledge that we don't have. They have good things that we don't have. And, you know, praise God for such people. But if it means that to replace God or to take God out of the picture and just depend upon them, then David has a message for us. He has a message for us. Why is that? God, you see, the advisors are showing David how bad the situation is, but David understands that God is bigger than the situation. His God is bigger than the problem they are presenting to him. So there's a balance there. Yes, I understand. The coronavirus is deadly. We cannot underestimate it. But at the same time, God is greater than the coronavirus. I think they were talking to the wrong person, David. They have no idea what kind of a man David was. And this is the kind of a person David was. In Samuel chapter 17, verse 32, there was a crisis here. Saul is in a crisis. The society is being shaken now. Goliath, the Philistine, is coming after the children of Israel, threatening them to wipe them away, insulting God's people. They're trying to figure out, what are we going to do? What's the solution? What's going to happen? David comes and he says to King Saul, David says, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came, he carried off a sheep from the flock. I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from the mouth of the bear. And when it turned on me, I seized it on its hair and struck it down. This is the type of person David was. So even when he was rejecting the advice of these people, deep inside he's reminded of what God has already done in his life. He has already seen what God can do. And he's making his case against Saul. And he said, listen to me. When I was a little boy, a bear will come. A lion will come. Your servant will go against the lion, against the bear, and protect the sheep. God gave me victory. And when he was facing Goliath, he speaks straight to Goliath and says, listen to you, Goliath. You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, with all kinds of equipment, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. He defeats the giant Goliath. And I'm sure if David was here this morning, he would say the same thing. What is coronavirus? I have seen the power of God. I've seen God at work. What is coronavirus? So you see, this is the type of a man David was. And he rejects the advice of the people. He balances out. You and I, we need to be reminded, we're the people of the covenant, we have seen God at work before. Unless you want to tell me you haven't seen God at work in your life. But we have seen him work in our lives. He has protected us. He has healed us. He has given us salvation. You name it, all kinds of wonderful things. Based on all that, we have no reasons to fear. We have no reasons to run away. We have no reasons to abandon responsibility just because the foundations of the society have been shaken. God is still good. He's the same God. So when the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? David's men, they panicked. The people that were around him, they panicked because of the situation. They panicked. And here the foundations of the society here refers to law and order of society based on God's rule at that time. So things were just falling apart. The enemies of God were about to attack David. And at the same time, you know, things were not working as going on well as usual. And these people, basically, they began to panic. They don't know what to do. It was only David that was different. They began to panic. And, you know, that's what happens even for us Christians sometimes. We panic when we come across challenges in life. Sometimes we also panic as well. One person that has blessed my heart is the president of Tanzania. I happen to come from the country of Tanzania. So the president of Tanzania just surprised me just a couple weeks ago in how he has been doing things. So what is happening is, because of the coronavirus, the whole world, every country, people are trying to find a solution of what to do just to contain the virus. So, you know, people are shutting down businesses, schools. You know what I'm talking about. But the president of Tanzania somehow was different. So this is what he did. People were expecting him to come with a plan for the nation, because of what was happening, what is happening right now, the coronavirus. And this is the plan. People were expecting something like this. He will come and tell the people, well, the government is setting aside millions and millions of dollars for the people who are affected by the virus. So we just want you as a nation not to worry. Help is coming. Everything's going to be okay. If you've lost your business, don't worry. We'll make sure that we help you, revive you, and your business is going to be okay. So they're expecting something like that. I mean, when you hear something like that, you know, it's encouraging. Oh, well, so I don't have to worry. Everything is going to work out good. But he didn't say that. This is what he said. He comes and addresses the nation, and he says, okay, now due to what is happening right now, we just encourage everybody to, you know, have social distance, you know, wear a mask if you can, wash your hands. We're going to close a couple schools, but in general, we're not locking down. But I want to advise the whole nation, please let us pray that God will heal us from the coronavirus. This is a president of our country in Africa. He is addressing the nation, telling people to pray. Now, everybody was shocked. Even Christians were shocked. They said, what's going on? We didn't see that coming. So the WHO, he got criticism from other countries that he's not taking the issue of coronavirus seriously. How can you just tell people to pray? What kind of a plan is that? Not only outsiders criticized, but even people from within, some religious leaders, they criticized. They said, we don't understand this. Other countries are doing this, but we are being asked to pray. Now, he responds to the people. He comes and he responds and he says, I'm not too worried about regular people, but I want to address religious people. That's what he said. They say that I have no plan. This is the plan I have. Pray. It's a plan. And he says, I'm disappointed because all those years, we hear that Jesus Christ is Lord. We hear that God is able, God is powerful. You guys have been preaching to us all those years. Now, death has come to our nation. You are running away. You are telling us to go to a hiding place. So you want to tell me that you didn't really mean what you are telling us. If there's any time our nations need prayer, this is the time we need prayer. What is God saying to you, men of God? What can you tell us about our nation? What is God saying? So when I heard that, even myself, I was convicted. I said, man, this man is speaking the truth. It's true. We talk about Jesus all the time. We talk about God. God is great. But now we have an opportunity to show the greatness of God, to shine for God. But even we ourselves as Christians, we are scared. We want a different plan. No, I'm saying that those other plans are bad. This is just an illustration that I'm giving here. But he shocked the nation. And in fact, there's a person who also responded, and he wrote a comment, and he said, after the coronavirus, I'm not going to any of these churches anymore, because now I know they don't mean what they are saying. They talk about God. God is faithful. Come to our fellowship church, you know, come to our small group. But really? And then they're asking, they're saying, has your God changed? Before the corona, it seemed that you have a different God. Now we have corona. It seems that your God has changed because your message is different. So I'm sitting there, I'm saying, man, I think this is God rebuking me. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 19, verse 9 to 10, it says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for then when I am weak, then when I am weak, then I am strong. So when the foundations of this our society are falling apart, what can the righteous do? This is what the righteous has something to do. It's time for the righteous to shine. Samuel laid again the foundations of the covenant. When things were falling apart, he actually laid again the foundations of the covenant. Ezra, when the society was shaken in his time, he laid the foundations of the temple. Worked hard to lay the foundations of the temple. In spite of his trials and all the things that King David went through, David lived to make preparations for the building of the temple, an organization of worship. That's what David did. Regardless of what was happening in that time in his life, he actually made preparations for the building of the temple. In the times, in the history of Israel, godly men, godly kings, they laid the foundation by doing away with idolatry and restoring worship. When things were falling apart, when the society was disintegrated, these men of God, they worked so hard to make sure that there was no idolatry, you know. And in the book of Revelation, Christ's message to the churches in Revelation 2 and 3 made it very clear that local churches need to constantly examine themselves and see if they are fulfilling God's will, and also reviving, make sure that, you know, the work of the Holy Spirit is at work in the society. So this is the time that we need to shine. This is the time that we need to bring hope to the world. This is not the time for believers to panic, because our God is a great God. Then verse 4 to 7 here, he says that we need to declare the confidence in God. So when you look at verse 4 here, it actually talks about, you know, it's now declaring the greatness of God, that God is actually above, you know, God is above, is above the throne. So it says here, the Lord in his holy temple, the Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes everyone on earth, his eyes examine him. So the first part there, he says, the God is above all the heavens. So the reason why David is so confident, because he knows that God is above. All the enemies, all the kings, all they are under. So he has no reasons to fear because God is above on his throne. He's the one in charge. At the end of the day, he is everything. And just to know that God is above should be an encouragement to us to continue and not to listen to the advice of the people who have no faith. Know that God is everything. And then he says that his eyes, you know, he observes everyone on earth, his eyes examine them. So God's eyes is actually looking at us. He observes what is happening. I remember when I was a little boy, sometimes I used to do little things, yeah, to sneak around. My dad was on the couch, and there are times I thought he was sleeping, you know. So I'll try to sneak something or try to do something thinking that he doesn't see me. And then I was surprised that later he actually looking, because he was like dozing on the couch, and I'll do something that I wasn't supposed to do because I thought that he was sleeping. But actually he wasn't. He was actually watching me. He would see what I was doing. And he'll catch me, you know. And that's why sometimes that's how it feels. Sometimes, so when we are going through difficult times, we think that God does not see, or God maybe is far, he does not care, or something like that. But he says that the eyes of God are watching. So the eyes of God are watching to see, you know, are you going to continue to walk with him, even in difficult times? Are you going to continue to keep your faith even in difficult times? Are you going to hold on biblical standards regardless of what is happening? When the society is falling apart, are you still going to trust in his word? His eyes are watching. Are you going to quit like everyone else because it seems that God isn't looking? That's what you are thinking. Maybe he's not looking, but actually he is looking. He's looking. He sees everything, every step that we take. So are we going to side with everybody else thinking that God is not looking? On the wicked, he'll rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. So eventually, God is going to destroy evil, eventually. It's not going to continue forever. Eventually, he will. And that should serve as an encouragement that it's a temporary life. It's a temporary life, and God knows, and at some point, he's going to destroy. And here, the people who are about to, you know, destroy David's life, God is going to deal with them eventually. So for the Christian, I don't need to change anything. I don't need to change my message. I don't need to act differently. I need to be constantly be the same person. And you know, here in Canada, we have what we call evergreens. You know what evergreens? They're always green. Minus 40, the thing is still green. It's still shiny. It's plus 40, the thing is still there. It's raining, it's always green. You're like, you never see it dry. And that should be the life of people of the covenant, always shining. It doesn't matter what the situation is. In good times, in bad times, we are always shining. But the enemies of God, they're saying, run away. Take off.
And then finally, he says, the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. The upright will see his face. Then he ends up, the psalm ends up with a good note saying, a time is going to come. You know, we talk about problems and problems, but there's another piece that we need to be reminded. At the end of the day, God is going to reward us. At the end of the day, we'll go to glory. And we are going to forget everything. All the pain, all the sorrow, all the things that have troubled us. We're going to forget about those things because God has prepared something for us. That is beautiful. To be a Christian, we have a sense of hope. We have something to look forward for. It's a blessing. We are a blessed people. We can't run away. You can't quit. You can't change your message. You can't panic. You can't get confused. God is everything for to us. Finally, James verse 1, 2 and 4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face many trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So God uses situations even to perfect us, to help us mature, to know him better, to appreciate him even better. And we see that in the life of David, how he dealt with the situation completely different with his advisors. And that's what God wants from us as well. Amen. Thank you very much, and God bless you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, because maybe there's somebody here was thinking, was contemplating about quitting, maybe confused. But your word is very plain to us today. We can't quit because we are people of the covenant. And we want to echo the words of David. You have done so much in our lives. We have seen you work in our lives. We have seen your faithfulness. We have no reasons to think that you're going to let us down now. These are just lies of the evil one. And we want to rebuke him in the name of Jesus Christ that he has no right in our lives. And we welcome you, God, to lead us to a place where you want us to be. We give you glory, we give you honor, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.